AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And as I ask you all the time, kindly go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in to 860 on the AM dial. Now, if they live out of the area, they can go to the internet site by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and listen on the live link. Oh, that's right there on the left side of the front page. Also, if you received an email this morning, you should have received one of them. Send it out to a family member or friend so that we'll be able to increase our list of great listeners and great supporters, which we are very proud to have. Well, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday was November the 3rd. It was a great day in the United States because a lot of the American people went out to vote, and that was very important. We have to exercise that right to do that as great Americans. And I want to thank all the listeners that did go out here in Philadelphia. I'm pleased that all the 20 people that we were promoting were able to be elected or reelected, some for the first time. And I want to thank all of you that went out and voted for them, whether they were in Philadelphia or across the state of Pennsylvania. Also, I want to make mention the gentleman who was with us in the past and was with us on last week's broadcast, Alan Dom, is now Councilman-elect Alan Dom, which is a very nice thing for him, and of course a nice thing for us because he is definitely one of us as a member of the community and also someone who thinks the way we do about getting jobs back here in the USA. Also, the election of Al Taubenberger as a city councilman at large took place yesterday. And I also want to compliment our newly elected mayor, Jim Kenney, and members of city council, the judges that were elected. And of course, our good friend and supporter, Lisa Dealey, was elected City of Philadelphia Commissioner. Congratulations to all the winners. And now that the election's over, I'm going to ask all the elected people to get together so we can work together and make things happen here in our area and across the USA that will bring people together to promote America and American workers. First of all, I want to thank our good panelists who are always with us, and they include Mark Andel, who you know as the founder of the Made in America store, also Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our great engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, and I'm always honored to be your host. And when I'm out and about, I'm also honored that you continue to tell me that you tune into the show, because this is what we have to do to get things moving again. Now, today in studio, I have two very distinguished people. One is a friend, a longtime friend, and that is Mr. Ken Bode. And we have a very distinguished person who's been on our show a few times, and that is Senator John Sabatina. And Senator Sabatina has something that he wants to promote today and present today because he understands the importance of us working together to get more jobs back here in the USA. Senator Sabatina. Oh,
thank you very much, Michael. It's great to be back.
Oh, love having you.
Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to come in today and, you know, inform the people that the last week in October when we were up in Harrisburg, I introduced a resolution designated November as American Made Month in Pennsylvania.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, you know, during the whole entire month of November, the Commonwealth should highlight the efforts of America's businesses, the industries, manufacturing, and assembling products of the United States and the jobs that employ Americans and add to a vibrant economy.
Very good. This is what it's all about. You know, we have so many things. A few of our guests today are going to be talking about jobs and job skills. And that's one of the things that we have to do. We were talking about that with Alan Dom last week, and I've talked to him on several occasions about getting the skills back in the schools, the trades, the industrial arts, so that when the boys and girls graduate, they at least have something to do. And all of our initiatives, whether it's a National Small Business Weekend, which is always the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month, or it's November as American Made Month, every one of them helps bring attention to the fact that we're working together to do something positive to make sure that we focus on jobs here in the USA. Sometimes we're only talking about bringing back 50% of the products. It sounds almost unbelievable to people when they say to me, I never realized that it was like that until I start listening to your message and going out and looking at the labels, and I'm shocked to find 90 to 95% were made foreign, and now we have to do something to restore those jobs. We have to bring down taxes. We have to encourage the people to show businesses that it is beneficial for them to locate and expand here in the USA. And initiatives like this, your presentation, and that, make sure that gets nicely published, is really what we have to do. It's elected people, it's groups like us, it's American Workers Radio, people who go out and speak up where they shop. These are the people that are gonna make sure that change really happens here in the USA. I have on with us today, Dr. Rich Loges and Dr. Mark Andel. I want you to give some words of wisdom to our guest, Senator Sabatino, and also recognize his great proclamation highlighting November as American Made Month.
Hello, Senator. This is Mark and Ken. Great to hear you're talking about supporting Made in America products in November. I love the proclamation. We've been on the move, of course, for 5+ years with the Made in America store. We're just nearing 7,000 products made in our country and support almost 500 privately owned American businesses now. So I love the MORE initiative, especially this time of year, November, December. It all comes down to Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, to Christmas. That is your retail shopping period that helps a lot of people stay in business and manufacturers. I'm proud to say we're opening up 2 holiday stores as we speak. So Mike and the crew know my crazy team, but welcome aboard. Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. I appreciate it, and I enjoy coming here and discussing these subjects with you and Michael.
You know, I want to say this to you, that just like some people were telling me in from American Express, they said it took us a few years before they got that Small Business Saturday off the ground, up and running. So this is taking baby steps, but each proclamation, it's like National Manufacturing Day. It started out and it slowly moved forward. Now it's in almost every state, and people are talking about the importance of making sure that we get those trades back in the schools, number one, and also that we get the job skills where people don't have a second thought about bringing their industry here to the USA because they have the qualified people and people are ready to go. You know, we have 10,000 people, unfortunately, I say that so often, retiring every day. It's great to have, you know, go out on the beach or do whatever you want. But also as they retire, they're taking those job skills with them. So we have to create new ways, new avenues. We have to arm the young people so that they would have the skills to go and replace these people. And Alan Dom mentioned something last week, and that is to bring some of the youth to the places so that they get an idea of what the jobs are all about. Well, Mark's been doing that for a few years, bringing people into his welding establishment to make sure that they know if they would like to do it or whatever. And that should be done in our high schools, throughout the high school.
Mike, I think for our listeners and our staff here to hear the senator talk and the passion, and that it's refreshing to hear that he really does get it. He's not just talking. He understands the connection with manufacturing, retailing, and importance of bringing jobs back here and what it does for our economy. So, Senator, hats off, a man in your power that understands and gets it. It's rare sometimes.
Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. You know, I Between the last time I was here and today, I had the opportunity to tour Augusta Westland in my district. They make helicopters made to order in Northeast Philadelphia, as well as AstraZeneca. They're a drug manufacturing firm. Both located in Northeast Philadelphia. And the point is that going back to what Michael was saying is they were telling me that they would love to hire people in the area, and they believe that the skills, the skill set that the kids are being taught isn't up to grade. So they're actually searching for qualified individuals to work for them, making products here, right here in Northeast Philadelphia.
And myself, you know, with my general welding and fabricating, I have two plants in Western New York, and looking for skilled workers, I think people are starting to understand the importance, but how hard it is to find for these two, you know, big manufacturers you just mentioned. It's very frustrating when you've got the work, you've got the orders, and you can't find workers. So that disconnect we have to all work on together.
Absolutely.
Rich, how are you doing?
Good morning, guys. Senator, thanks for being on. I am particularly eager to hear about the voter turnout throughout the state. And in Philly, any preliminary data that you guys have?
I do not, Rich. I do know that it was particularly in the Philadelphia area. You know, they were predicting low turnouts, and I think we exceeded expectations. I think it was north of 20%. I think they were calling for south of 20%. You know, 15-18%. And I think hold me to this, but I think we were upwards about 25% turnout. You know, and it's there was a big push to get turnout. People got out to vote, and you know, everywhere I went, I said, "Look, there's a lot of people that sacrificed their lives and died for our country, to give you the right to vote." So, you know, the least you can do is show them the respect and come out to vote, no matter who you vote for.
20%, huh? Well, I guess you can't. If you beat that, you can't fall off the floor.
Well, Rich, as I said earlier, I'm very pleased that of the 20 people that we promoted and urged people to go out and vote, all of them did receive a good number of votes, and that's what really counts at this point. Senator, I wanted to let you know that we have a few guests. I know that you have a time limit today. He's on a couple visitations. But we have some special guests, Mark and Rich. We're going to talk about some of the important things that we talk about, education and job skills. Our first guest today is the director of NJ, Advanced Manufacturing Talent Network. And I'm going to ask Ray Vaccari to introduce yourself and tell us what you are doing there to help the jobs and education process. Ray.
Yes, thank you. So as a director, this is a program funded by the State Department of Labor and hosted at New Jersey Institute of Technology in Newark. And what I basically do is go around the state and talk to manufacturers around the state of New Jersey and find out what their skills needs are. And most of them are hiring. It's as you heard from the senator earlier, it's not just in Philadelphia, it's all over. Certainly the state of New Jersey, manufacturers can't find the people with the right skill sets. So then I go and I talk to educators like the community colleges and the VOTECs and the four-year institutions, and I get them to develop the credentials and certification programs that could train the people to get the skill sets needed by manufacturers. And then the hardest part is actually to talk to job seekers and young people and get them interested in careers in manufacturing. Manufacturing has a very poor reputation. You know, people, for the past 30 years, manufacturers have been moving out of the Northeast, been going to China and so on. People don't realize that there's a revolution in manufacturing going on today, creating a lot of good jobs. You know, we are automating our processes. We're using robotics. And because of that, the skill sets are changing, and the nature of manufacturing is changing. Very clean environments. You know, we need skill sets for people who have mechanical, electrical, and IT backgrounds. A lot of this equipment needs to be run by computers. And so, as I said, you know, the problem is getting the young people interested in these programs. And what we have is we subscribe to a program called Dream It, Do It, for example, one of the things that we do. This is a program that's been generated and developed by the Manufacturing Institute in Washington, D.C. They're a part of the National Association of Manufacturers. And 38 other states participate in this program. And basically, it's a marketing campaign to get to middle schools I know the senator mentioned high schoolers, but we got to get to these kids in middle school when they make the decision as to what high school they're going to go to and what type of career they're going to be interested in, and get them interested. Market manufacturing has very good careers. You know, for the past 30 years, young people have not gone into manufacturing, so as a result, the average age of a manufacturing employee has risen, such that it's approaching 60 years old in New Jersey. Because of that, there's a tremendous gap that young people can fill. You know, they say, well, I'll get an entry-level job, that's not good enough, but within a very short period of time, they could fill those jobs that are being retired, all those baby boomers that are retiring. So the opportunities are there.
And we do have the school systems available. It's just getting those programs back into the school. Ray, do you have any idea why they originally pulled those out of the schools all across the USA?
Well, because there was a lack of demand. Everybody thought manufacturing was dead. You know, it was all being outsourced to countries like China and India and Mexico. And because of that, the kids weren't interested in those programs. And basically, there was a stronger focus on sending all the kids to college. Everybody said, go to college, you'll be successful. You know, how many kids do you know went to college, have $100,000 or $200,000 in debt, and don't have a job? You know, us as parents have driven our kids to avoid jobs in manufacturing. And because of that, the school said, well, no one's going to take these courses. We got to get rid of this equipment. We get rid of the instructors. And now what's difficult for these schools is they got to buy the equipment back. It's very expensive. And they have to find the experienced instructors, which is very difficult to teach those courses.
Well, Ray, what you're saying is even though it's expensive, it'll be worth the investment. Because without it, we're going to go down the drain further. It's pretty scary when you hear how the third world countries have put out all these purchase orders to Germany and all the other places making these manufacturing machines so that they would be upgraded. And yet here in the USA, we're flat on our back.
Oh, we're doing it. We're doing it. As a matter of fact, it's predicted the Boston Consulting Group, which does these studies internationally, predicts by the year 2018, the United States will be a lower cost producer of manufactured goods than China.
Wow.
I talked to a German banker last year. It represents a lot of German companies, manufacturing firms, and European firms. He says it's cheaper to build a BMW in America and ship it to Europe than to make it in Europe today.
Is that right? Wonderful.
Because of that, I believe, and I know, there's a revolution going on in America. The Made in America tag is very important and very respected around the world. And there are a lot of companies that want to come here. It's the issue is it's like the Field of Dreams. You build it and they will come. The issue is we don't have the skilled labor. So we need to build the skilled labor force. Those companies will come.
The senator is listening very intently. I think he has some ideas to maybe talk to some of the people in the school boards to see what can be done. We have a few of the schools in the Philadelphia and, of course, the state of Pennsylvania that direct their time to trades and the industrial arts, but there's not enough of them. And they, right. when you apply to the schools and they tell you there's a waiting list, you may not be able to be even given first consideration, let alone second consideration. That's discouraging to somebody who already has the idea, let's do it. So, Ray, you're absolutely right. Ray, what would you like to see done to end this? As if we had to go to the Federal Education Commission or the State of Pennsylvania Education Board or the New Jersey, how could this be implemented without a lot of effort?
Well, we have it in place. We have in our case, we have the CTE schools, formerly known as Votech schools. These are high schools focused on the trades. And we have one in every county, only one in every county in New Jersey. And as I go around the state, three out of every four applicants are turned away, not because they're not qualified, but because there's no space for them. There's a backlog of 17,000 students that want to get into these schools, and they can't get in because there's no room. We need to quadruple the number of technical schools, Votech schools. There is a demand, and it's growing, and we need to do that.
Well, Ray, if I was saying, Ray, tomorrow you have to testify with Senator Sabatino in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, what would you say would be the first thing you would like to have them do? Maybe we can do something like that. With your passion, with your leadership, it's very possible.
Well, it's just that. You know, they need to fund the education. They need to fund these technical schools, and the funding needs to be to fund the equipment, which is expensive, but very important, because they need the hands-on training. And also they need to fund for the professors. And you know, where are we going to get these experienced people? There are a lot of these baby boomers that are retiring, and that's the opportunity for us to get them to convince them to maybe work part-time and do some training. That will work. But to tell the legislature what they need to do is fund more of these technical schools, more of these CTE schools, and that's very important. Also to fund apprenticeship programs. You know, the State Department of Labor has issued a number of grants that we're bidding on, which are training grants that will train not only out-of-work workers, but also incumbent workers. You know, a lot of these companies need to train their people that are working for them already to upgrade their skills to work on this new equipment. That's important as well.
Now, here's one extra question while the senator's here. Have you ever considered getting manufacturers, the people who are the investors, the owners of the businesses, together so that they would come forward and present what they need to the school boards, that they would not have to reinvent the wheel, but start fresh by saying, this is the type of worker we need. We need to replace this many people. How many people can you supply us ready to go?
Yeah, we do that a lot. Matter of fact, tonight I'm holding a meeting, Manufacturers Roundtable meeting, at the PSE&G Training Center in Edison from 5:30 to 7 o'clock, just for that purpose, to have manufacturers talk to the state and the educators to tell them what credentials and certifications they deem important in order to continue their businesses. Another thing we're doing is we're pursuing and following the German dual education model. A few years ago, the German consulate came to us and said, you know, we have a lot of German-owned companies in New Jersey, and they're all looking for skilled labor, and they can't find them. Why don't you adopt this process that we do in Germany for all of your manufacturers in New Jersey? So we did that, and we have a program you're going to hear later on today, hopefully, from Ian Trammell, the executive director of MechaForce, which we're rolling out to 9 counties in New Jersey, whereby these high schools, these technical schools, are training the kids in advanced manufacturing skills and getting college credits, such that in some cases they will graduate with a 2-year college degree from high school in advanced manufacturing, and they'll have a job with a local manufacturer. And if they want, they could go on to schools like NJIT and get their engineering degree for free, paid for by the company. And these local companies are integrally involved with the process. You will hear that from Ian Trammell, working with these schools, not only providing the jobs and tours of the plants and so on, but also working with them on their curriculum to make sure that the curricula follows the needs that these manufacturers have.
Wow, Ray, I am really impressed to hear what you have to say. Mark, you've been through this. What would you like to say to Ray?
Oh, geez, I want Ray up in Western New York here. Mm-hmm. Ray, great things you're talking about. Just to back up a little bit, you know, you had said that the kids have really lost interest way back when, and I always blame the parents and the guidance counselors for not promoting, working with your hands. I had metal shop, wood shop, power mechanics, electronics in my high school. I didn't have to go to a trade school. So I thought that was great to expose. Even if you're going to be a doctor, you got to know how to handle a tool to fix your doorknob. But going forward, I think the program you're talking about was P-TECH. P-TECH's a program we have up here that I'm involved with in Western New York, where they're tying a local school with our trade school. But what they're going to do is allow a student, at ninth grade, they ask him, are you interested in a program? The student's going to go through the 4 years of high school, but then 2 years more. He'll be able to walk with his graduating class, but not graduate at that point. But 2 years after school, he'll end up with the associate's degree. And I love the German model. It makes sense. You kind of figure the company you want to go with, and then you go school, you know, to go to school and get trained with it. So I think we're on the same page with you guys, our guests today. Mike, I'm very excited that there will be change.
I'm telling you, we're turning many pages of positive work with this. There's no dancing around. People are getting, ideas. I've been hearing from people in other states that say, well, how can the this have happened to us, where we lost all of our trades. I remember when I was in school, I'm 52 years old, and they took everything out 20 years ago. My kid is now in high school. There's nothing left but computer lab and all that stuff. And there's no more hands-on. And my kid, I hate to tell you, is hands-on. So I said, well, you tune in this week, and you're going to hear some great ideas.
Yeah. Now, a lot of the kids, you know, I got 70 employees, and the welders we're looking for more than anybody, in CAD drawers and people that want to work with their hands. But a lot of these students, the new employees come, they've never even held a hammer or whatnot. So you want them to have that fundamental basic. But when we talked to Ray, I think you brought up, too, the average age of the workforce, like at Channel Lock, my a large customer. You know, we deal with Channel Lock. We got 100% Channel Lock players. They have about 300 employees in Pennsylvania. And the average age is about 60 years old there. Wigwam Sock, Sheboygan, Wisconsin, average age, 300 employee workforce, 55 to 60 also. So this is change. We need action right now. What we're talking about is action, but we've got to get everybody on board and recognize how important. You cannot grow this economy without the new skilled trades and making changes in our education. Business to school relationship, I tied with Alfred Tech up here. I had six of their students over the summer between their 1 year and 2 year program, but they were off track a little bit. They were teaching them stick welding and processes I don't really use too much. I had to show them the pulse, MIG, and things I need, so I got them kind of back on force. So the relationship with business, the manufacturer, and the educator is top priority also.
Doctor, you talk about skill sets. You know, soft skills is the number one type of skills that manufacturers, all industries in New Jersey and across the country, find lacking in the young people. You know, these kids don't know how to work. They don't know how to show up on time. They don't know how to take directions from a boss. They don't know how to measure things on a ruler. Even it's just amazing. One company. This is atrocious. But one company I talked to last week, he was interviewing a candidate, and he was trying to fill out the application, and he didn't know how to spell his middle name. He had to take out his Social Security card to spell his middle name. Little to know, of course, he didn't hire that person, but this is just a shame.
Yeah, reading a tape measure and filling out a checkbook is
right,
lost.
Right.
These life skills. You know what I find, though, is the veteran. You know, I love our veterans. They're the heroes to me. But these guys, they do show up on time. They can generally take an order, so it's a great place to start, too.
Yeah, and actually the military, they're great people coming out of the military. They're tremendous. They may not have the specific skills that you need, but they've got the work-ready skills and other skills that are very important. So really finding jobs for the military is critical.
Yeah, I met the president of Caterpillar down in San Antonio, Texas last year. We showed our movie, the American-made movie, and president was there. And their number one first choice is a veteran because of the punctual and the soft skills. But you hit it right on the head. These soft skills are non-existent a lot of times. If a kid's late five times, or if they worked hard one day, they don't want to come back. They call in because they've worked hard the day before. The odd thing is they tell you. You know, it's just a different world, but we've got to keep working on that work ethic also.
The senator wants to add something.
I just wanted to follow up with what you gentlemen were saying. First of all, veterans are excellent. It's an excellent opportunity to hire veterans who have discipline and a work ethic already embedded in them. But what Ray was saying and Mark was saying earlier is I was just pontificating. I actually have those two businesses that AstraZeneca and Augusta Westland are in a section of the Northeast where also Orleans Trade Technical Institute is, and a branch of Community College in Philadelphia, as well as Holy Family University. So what I think I'm going to undertake is make sure they're communicating with each other, the manufacturers and the schools, and make sure they're on the right page so that they are teaching the right things in college and the trade school, so that they can become employed in the private sector.
Very good. One other point I'd like to make, a statistic. You know, the average salary that is made in all industries in New Jersey is $60,000. The average salary in manufacturing is $80,000.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. That's what we need to hear. And we've been letting that type of good work go down the drain in the last 30 years. And Ray, you've been an unbelievable individual. I'm telling you, we have to get you on the program more. Remember, we're not only a southeastern Pennsylvania broadcast, but we have many, many listeners from across the USA. And your ideas will be shared as they listen, and they have things to be armed with to go and speak to their school boards, to their manufacturing people, and say, well, let's do something. Maybe we can partner with the school board to make sure that we're getting the type of students that we need. Rich, what did you want to add?
Yes, thank you, guy. Ray, thank you. Rich Logis here. Thanks for coming on. I just wanted to let both you guys know I sent you off a LinkedIn request because I'd like to stay in touch with you off the show. I have a question for Ray, but Senator, you can jump in here. Now, Ray, I'm gonna put you on the, I don't mean to, but I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit with this question. We're gonna daydream for a moment. Undoubtedly, you're aware, because this is what we do. We pay attention to this data. Undoubtedly, you're aware of the $2 trillion that are in monies with a variety of companies, many of which make things that are overseas. I personally think it's higher, but let's just use the $2 trillion. So, Ray, if that money came back into the U.S., especially with companies that make things, what do you think would happen? What do you envision would happen with manufacturing?
Well, an explosion. I mean,
what do you think would happen? You think that? Aren't you guys now? Are you guys smiling a little bit, thinking about $2 trillion? I am. What do you think would happen, Ray?
I think there would just be a revolution in this country that would just be astounding. You know, that next industrial revolution. It'd just be amazing. You know, I'm excited. I think that's going to happen anyway. But if we can get companies to reinvest in America, you know, and one thing is, I mean, isn't there some kind of tax if you manufacture, if you make anything overseas, you can't, if you bring it into the country, it gets taxed, so it gets double taxation. If we just eliminate that tax, companies will take that money that they earn overseas and invest it in America.
Yes.
That's exactly the discussion points that we're trying to get to. I mean, this was really good. Ray, can I ask you to come back in the future and give us an update what you're doing? And maybe we can even invite you to Pennsylvania to share your enthusiasm, your knowledge with some of our school board leaders in Harrisburg. Maybe we can get the senator to bring you in to discuss what you're doing so that no one has to reinvent the wheel, but add on to what we're already doing in Pennsylvania. Every idea shared is for the benefit of America and American workers and America's
Absolutely.
Youth.
Yep, I agree. I'd be very happy to come. And one last thing note I'd like to mention is we have to engage manufacturers in the whole process. The process of education, completely engage them. They're willing to do that, and they're ready to do that. We need to get them involved.
Very good. And Ray, we're talking about doing a summit in the future, and I think that you will definitely have to be part of a few hour broadcast summit that we're looking to do to talk about getting all these programs on the same sheet of music. Thank you so much, Ray, for being with us, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you very much.
Well, our next guest today is another distinguished gentleman, and his name is Michael Marchetti. And Michael, kindly introduce yourself and welcome to our American Workers Radio broadcast.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for inviting me. We are very actively involved in a program called Dream It, Do It. And it's a program that the Manufacturing Institute out of Washington, D.C. has created. And Ray had spoken a little bit about it during his opportunity here. And the program was originally brought to us by the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, NJBIE, and BIA rather. And we took a look at it with the Manufacturing Talent Network in New Jersey, and it's really a great program, and it's is one where the rubber meets the road. And I'm honored to be a part of the implementation of this program. And it focuses on young people. Focuses on middle school students, high school students, and we are really talking about engaging grammar school students as well now, because we really want to try to get this this feeling of doing things with your hands, doing things with your mind, and making stuff. And kids have this natural ability and natural interest to really engage in activities that I have the pleasure to introduce them to in New Jersey.
You know, Michael, some of the people that I speak to tell me that 25 and 30 years ago in school, they were given like a little information form. What exactly would they like to do in the future? And that already gave the teacher an idea where to start focusing that young person's activities on. So I think that is something else we have to start working on, because a lot of our young people may say right off the bat, I'm not college bound, but what am I going to do to make a good living? And programs like yours and so many others that are trying to all get together can do something that people will know what to do and where to go at a time of need. Not every person is going to be ready for college. And what Ray was saying was very interesting about the program up there in New Jersey. I'd like to see something like that brought to Pennsylvania.
Well, actually, you know, the Dream It Do It is a national program, again, by the Manufacturing Institute. And it's unique in that there are currently 37 states plus four regions in the country that engage in this really clever program. And Pennsylvania has an outstanding group in the Lehigh Valley, Dream It Do It group, that has created a best practice that we are working on implementing. And the name of it is What's So Cool About Manufacturing. And Karen Buck in that group has really been instrumental in helping other states implement the program. And what this program is, and this is really very typical of the entire Dream It Do It mode of operation. What's So Cool About Manufacturing is presented to middle school students, and they create teams of 4 to 6 students, and the kids go to manufacturers, check them out, and take a look and see what's so cool about these places. And they create a video that is of length 2.5 minutes, and they go in and they interview people within these companies. They take a look at physically what is being done. They'll film various processes. They'll take a look at the entire facility. And they'll then go back. And they'll make a couple of trips to these manufacturers. Then they'll go back, review their videotapes that they made, edit them, and then present them in competition, either within several schools in their immediate vicinity, or they may do it in a region, and or they could do it statewide. And some of these, if one were to Google what's so cool about manufacturing, you'll see some very, very well done videos, and these kids just sparkle, and the entire universe of manufacturing opens to them. And one of the other really neat things about this program and others that Dream to Do It does is that they engage parents and or mentors. And that kind of helps to solidify the experience for these young people, because not only do they get their natural interests satisfied, and which is a self-perpetuating thing, but they'll get reinforcement from their families, from people they respect, and that helps to reinvigorate the entire process. And it's really a wonderful program that the Lehigh Valley is doing, and we're beginning that here as well with Karen's assistance.
Wow, that is wonderful to hear. What I would like to see is Pennsylvania has 66 counties. I'd like to see every one of those county representatives be involved in this program, because that's the way it's going to happen. It has to start with the school board in the area, in the county, the most leading possible school board that could take it over, because this is where we're going to have success in the future. I love it.
And I think, Michael, building on that, if one county sees that it's successful, the neighboring county is going to follow.
You know, he mentioned that they do this video. You know, Michael, that's a great way for the counties maybe to do an inter-county type of a competition.
Absolutely, and the voting that takes place, and you can, you know, access all this through YouTube, and they can have their voting also on their particular websites, and people get engaged, and that's really the key. you know, we're talking about students who may not see a clear college path for educational path and manufacturing as options. The neat thing about manufacturing is that it doesn't inhibit anyone. As all of you gentlemen know, it's a very fertile place, and you can, whether you're into driving trucks or designing the next unique material to be used in creating a car bumper, it all can be done under the umbrella of manufacturing. It is incredible, and these are the things we have to drive home to parents, to mentors, and let kids get in there and get their fingers dirty and have some fun.
Absolutely.
It's a great field.
You know, I am really enthused by this. I'd like to see if we could get a Pennsylvania-wide county thing going where the kids could compete. I'd like to see what they have to do. But moreover, it would allow the manufacturers, the businesses, to know that this is going on, let them share their experiences of what type of people they will need in the future, because that's what it's all about. You know, Mark Andel, who, as you know, is the founder of the American Made store, what are you saying about this as you're listening to this, Mark?
Yeah, I think I'm going to move to Philadelphia.
There you go. Yeah, come to the Northeast, Mark.
How you doing, Mike? And, you know, Ray had called in, and, you know, Senator John there. You guys understand and what we're talking about. Mike, I questioned, did they ever see the American-made movie? And if you had a copy there, I'd like to
I do have a copy of the movie, and I will send it out to – I want to thank you guys for getting Janine to be in contact with me. She was just absolutely – Janine Croner, you have a great assistant there, very enthusiastic. I even told her after she was speaking to me, I said, well, Janine, you have to come on the radio too. I mean, the way she's a promoter. But Mark knows what this is all about. This is what we need to do. We have to unite. We're uniting forces through this radio broadcast and hearing David Muir with his pieces. And, you know, we are on 20 radio broadcasts over the weekend. Our programmers put on my weekly commentary. They either read it or they put on the actual tape that I use. The message is getting out. People are saying, how can we have an economy that we don't have enough workers in there to do the jobs that are needed? How can we expect our kids to go out of school, graduate with a nice certificate, and then walk out the door and have no job? We can't allow that to continue. This is America, the place where dreams can come true if we allow them to come true.
And with a skilled trade, you'll probably never starve. You'll always be able to pick up a job somewhere. And as we all touched on, it involves a lot, from CAD drawing, IT, most of the equipment, either NC or CNC controlled. Even the welding process, as a welding engineer, you can become. So it all runs on a ladder. So I just think there's so much. When I brought up the American-made movie and that National Education Initiative they started, all Georgia schools are teaching the National Education Initiative with the American-made movie in it to 960 schools this year was passed, and six other states are in line. So it makes change. But again, like we talked about, it's from fifth grade to 12th grade. You've got to get to these kids young. Fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth is not too young to walk them through a business, start talking about, hey, that looks cool. You guys, you know, Mike, you were talking about you made it kind of sexy, you know, a little more sell to it. Even Dream It, Build It as a national brand. An American-made movie crew was all tied to these manufacturers. So it's all great stuff, and love to hear the enthusiasm and excitement. And I wish children were listening to the show, you know.
Yes.
You know, one of the other things to your mind, we did play the American-made movie at NJIT, New Jersey Institute of Technology, in last year's Manufacturing Day, and it's an excellent film, and one where you can, you know, you really can show people through your documentary how important manufacturing is. And one of the things when I had the opportunity to speak to young people and their parents, as I mentioned, the patriotic element here. You know, when you take a look specifically at World War II, for example, we won that war. You know, based upon the courage, the heroism of a country and of our fighting members. But manufacturing was key. For every fighter that was shot down, we replaced it with four more. We had long-range bombers that were coming off the assembly line at the rate of one every 93 seconds. Manufacturing is critically important. A healthy manufacturing environment is critically important for this country, for our geopolitical influence, and to try to do the right thing. And it's an important, very important endeavor. And young people are our key. And it's a wonderful, Dream It Do It is a great program, and we're very excited about it.
Rich Logis, I know you're dying to ask.
Oh, yeah, Michael. Well, we got two Michaels. So, M&M, Michael M. here. Did you hear, Michael, my question to Ray before you came on?
I did not. I was in the in the fold when that occurred. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. No problem. I'm going to ask you the question that I asked Ray. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Since we're talking about dreaming, this one's going to bring a smile to all of our faces, I promise. Michael, what do you think would happen for manufacturing, for those that would bring, for those who make things, what do you think would happen if the approximate $2 trillion that are overseas, many of which those companies make things, those monies were to come back here into the U.S. What do you think?
It's a very intense economic and political question, neither one of which I'm particularly skilled in. However, my gut feel in meeting with many manufacturers and seeing the sparkle in children's eyes, we have to approach our assets as if they're precious, as precious as our people, and people are our most precious asset. If we can create a pathway to success that is unencumbered and that has real benefit to all segments of our society, you will see a flurry of activity because people like to accomplish things. It's in our DNA. And when I had, we had one of the other programs with Dream It, Do It is called the Young Manufacturers Academy, which we ran over this summer, which was created by Sue Palisano up in the Connecticut Dream It, Do It. And we had 40% young girls in this program. We had 23 students, all from Newark, and 40% of them were female. And one of the things that they keyed on, it was funded by Sandra Cormont, who's been very supportive of many of our efforts. And the girls focused, we went to many different manufacturers, and the girls tended to focus on things that made people better individually. They solved personal and social problems, things like creating artificial limbs and medical issues. And, you know, when we get this country operating on all cylinders, which you have to do now, where it's a world economy, we're competing with a lot of people, a lot of countries. So if you can get things operating on all cylinders, it's a wonderful thing.
You know, as I listen to you guys, it's not something that we have to think about. It's something that we have to do. We have to get that money back in America, take any kind of tax obligation off of it, get that money back in here as long as they circulate the dollars, making jobs come true for, and expanding businesses for our young people to have a job. Dr. Michael, I am going to thank you for your visit, and we have our third visitor that is coming on. And thank you so much. You did see Mark's movie, the Made in America movie, and that's a big plus. You take a check at that, and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But please do promote. I know that Janine put it up on your site, November American Made Month. You can check out a copy of our broadcast, which will be up in about an hour and a half, and we'll make sure that all of you get a copy of it. And I'm going to ask all of our listeners right now to make sure that they email today's program out today, because it's really important. I want to thank Senator John Sabatino for the beautiful proclamation we received today promoting November as American Made Month. This is what we have to do. That means that all of the senators in the state of Pennsylvania got a copy of that particular resolution, and they looked at it and they approved it, and that means that more people have it in their mind that we have to work together. Senator John Sabatino, thank you for your great participation and your great efforts on our behalf in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Michael, thank you. Thank you for having me back on the show, and I'm going to try and do it again real soon.
Oh, do be here with us. I want to have a political gathering so we can get people who are in charge that can go make a difference in our city and state governments, go and speak up and say, this is what we have to do. In order for us to move forward, we have to do this.
Absolutely.
So, Senator John, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Michael Marchetti will be looking forward to having you on again in the very near future. Our next guest today on this great day is Ian Trammell. And I'm going to ask Ian if you would kindly introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yes, thanks for having me on the show. My name is Ian Trammell. I'm the executive director of MechaForce. And MechaForce is a dual education program that is statewide. It provides an articulated degree pathway along with certifications for people that are interested in getting involved in advanced manufacturing. There's a couple of interesting things about MechaForce that makes us a little different from people that are just doing advanced manufacturing training, and that's that we are actually industry-led. We have an advisory board, and that advisory board is made up of 51% industry leaders, and the other 25% is made up of the other 49%, I should say, is made up of educators and people that are involved with affiliations like the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, New Jersey MEP, Manufacturer Extension Program, and, other affiliations such as that. So we're very much in touch with what the needs are, and we help educators from career and technical education organizations, what they used to call vocational schools, all the way through community colleges and Thomas Edison State College and New Jersey Institute of Technology. We help them to, make sure that they're training and teaching people in relevant ways so that those folks will be career ready. And the way that we've set it up is to have the possibility of earning credits if they go for the academic route at low cost so that there's little debt for the student at the end of the day, no matter where they stop along the career pathway or the degree pathway, rather, and they're able to get right to work. So, you might have a student who starts their associate's degree while they're in the high school level, and they're able to start working with a company and then able to continue their education at a community college. And they're able to get their associate's degree at, low cost. They're able to begin working already. And, their counterparts that they may have graduated with from high school that may have gone on for a university education, getting their bachelor's degree, spend well over $100,000. They have that debt. And then some of them are still looking for jobs once they get their degree. So we're really offering a career pathway with educational background that's available to students with jobs, because we're linked with all of these interested companies. We've done something interesting. We took the dual education program that's prevalent in Germany. I heard you mentioning Germany before, my colleague Michael Marchetti talking about World War II and maybe one of the reasons why we were so successful. But we have to remember that Germany rebuilt after the war, and they rebuilt in such a way that really strongly linked their educational system to their manufacturing base. And so that's what we're trying to recreate here, so that people that are involved in programs like ours will be career ready, and advanced manufacturers will have the talent workforce talent pool that they need to be competitive.
Wow, Ian, that sounds almost unbelievable. Mark, what would you like to add to our list of wow? This is wow. That's all.
This is a great show. I mean, you put all these guys together, and it refreshes me on the movement. And number one, we've got an understanding of what's needed out there. plain and simple. And Ian, you know, you're right on task. And it's just great to hear everybody that understands it. Now we got to push it forward. We've got to get it back into schools. And it's happening. You know, and that's kind of nice. But the more we reinforce it, the more we realize, you know, our local manufacturers, they can't grow without these skilled workers. And the more we make parents and guidance counselors at a young age for our students and children realize that it's okay. It's okay to get into manufacturing, and there's a lot of technology there, and boy, can you grow. So very good and refreshing, Mike. What great guests today.
You know, Mark and Ian and Rich, I want to say this to you and all of our listeners. Please do spread the word about the things that you heard during today's broadcast. What I'm learning more and more is that we've been hiding the fact that manufacturing was downplayed in America for many years. We have to turn that around. And people like Ian and Michael and Jim, everybody has done, and Ray, and all of the people, Larkin, have all brought together, and the Senator Sabatina have brought together ideas that we have to work together even more. This summit that we've been talking about really has to take place. And I'm going to ask you, Michael, and also Ray and Ian, if you could make yourself available one day soon, and I'll ask each one of you to come on individually, because what you're saying now, Mecca, where is that available? Only in New Jersey, or is that moving to other states?
Well, there's always a vision for later, but right now the mission of Mecca Force is for New Jersey, and we're very strategic in where we get involved. We want to make sure that the manufacturing base is there and can be tied to the educational element, because if it's just a classroom education, that's not going to do it. That's not what is going to prepare learners for career readiness. So we need to make sure that the manufacturing base is present locally and in full support of what's going on in the classroom. And part of that comes from, you know, developing the competencies that are needed. We started this process about a year and a half ago. We gathered advanced manufacturers from all over New Jersey, and they actually came together, and they're involved in this public-private partnership, and they agreed on a list of competencies that they needed, these skills that they needed from these future employees, and we were able to take those competencies to our educational partners, and they created this degree pathway with certifications along the way so that these young people can have access to exactly what the companies need them to know. And as they start partnering with these companies as individuals and for future employment, they're able to be fine-tuned in their education and their training. And so it has really been amazing that way. And like you're saying, having a summit, getting people involved, getting them, you know, to be active, the partnership is what this is all about. No one can be successful in a silo anymore. This is all about people working together, pooling their resources, getting the most return on investment that they possibly can. And that's really only possible these days through these kinds of partnerships.
Ian, I want to thank you for being on the broadcast today. I hate to tell you that somebody told me once I was going to beat the clock, but I see I can't. But Ian, and I want to thank Michael and Ray for being with us today. Thanks to Larkin for he was listening in today. He wasn't able to call in. But Rich and Mark, thank you. I think we learned a lot today. I think our listeners learned a lot today. And we are going to continue our broadcast with these great people in the very near future. Senator Sabatina was extremely impressed with everybody's presentation. And these are things that we have to do. Otherwise, we're not going to move forward. But we have the tools already available to us. Now let's help it move forward. Before we close off today, everyone, I want to remind all of you that if you live in or around the Philadelphia tri-state area, we have the Philadelphia Veterans Parade this Sunday, November the 8th, and that'll begin at 12 noon at Broad and Walnut Streets. Go down Market Street to the reviewing stands, and it will be on WPVI TV 6 ABC beginning at 12:30 in the afternoon. I look forward to seeing you there. And for more information, you can visit PhillyVeteransParade.com. Ian, thank you so much. Again, thanks to Michael Marchetti and to Ray Vaccari and to all of you for listening. Kindly spread the word. We will have a copy of today's broadcast so that you can share it with family members and friends this afternoon. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, my best wishes. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spreading the word. Don't forget, November is American Made Month. And this weekend is National Small Business Weekend. Go out and support all of your local businesses.
Have a great week, guys. Ian, thanks for being on.
Thanks, guys.